Well, good morning, everyone. What a privilege it is for me to be here at Kerrang Baptist this morning. For those who don't know me, I grew up at Bort. I often like to remark about that's the promised land. That's where Jesus is returning to when he comes back to set up his thousand-year reign. It's not Kerrang, sorry, it's at Bort. Over the years, I have spent some time here at Kerrang Baptist as a young adult or teenager, young adult, and so I do have some connections here, and there are some stories that will float around. Don't believe any of them. They are wrong. And anybody who wants to tell you something, it's an untruth as well too. But no, it is a real privilege to be here today. I actually have strong connections. I'm related to Dick Hawthorne, who is sitting back there at the back. He's probably thinking, yeah, it's an unfortunate relation to be related to Dave Lovell. But lots of connections here. And even though I haven't been here in a long time, it's a privilege. And so today I just want to bring greetings from Bendigo Baptist Church, of which many people you will know Bendigo Baptist, and also the Baptist Union of Victoria. Part and parcel of a role now I'm playing out of our church is to support churches in the northwest region of Victoria. There's 21 churches, so I kind of come with that cap as well today. Some of you will know me, some of you won't. There's a picture here of my family, my wife Julie, my four children who have spouses there as well too, and a tribe of grandchildren now. Julie and I have been married for 32 years. Today, in fact, it is my eldest son's birthday, Jesse, who's the one on the right-hand side with the long hair. He's in ministry in Melbourne. He is 31. And I shot him a message this morning when I landed up here at Kerrang. I said, mate, I cannot believe that you are 31 today. Where has all of that gone? But Julie and I feel incredibly blessed. When I look at that picture, it reminds me that life is often full of new seasons and experiences. Can you relate to that? Whatever that might mean for you, whether you are a teenager here in this room, whether you are a young adult, a maturing adult, wherever it might you might find your life, life is often full of new seasons and experiences. We all enjoy something new. I'm yet to meet somebody who doesn't like something new. We feel it in the excitement of unwrapping a Christmas gift or a birthday gift. We often sense it at the beginning of a new year with its clean calendar, like the year. It's a year of new. It's a new horizons, new projects, new jobs, and maybe even for some of us, some new resolutions to keep. But there is something that comes alive in all of us with the prospect of a brand new start, a blank page or an unexplored path. But you know, I want to say this morning, it's not just us. I also believe that God delights in newness. You know, we were celebrating some of that this morning with communion, weren't we, as we were remembering and celebrating the new life that we have as followers of Jesus Christ because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. God himself is somebody who delights in newness. In fact, he tells his people in the Old Testament, the Israelites, in Isaiah chapter 43, he says to them these words, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past, see, I am doing a new thing." If you've got your Bible today, I want to invite you to turn with me to that Old Testament book, the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 43. And we're going to camp ourselves in that passage for just a few moments this morning. Within Isaiah chapter 43, it's a word that God delivers through the prophet Isaiah to his people before they were carried off into Babylonian captivity. Some beautiful words that are spoken in Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to move our way through that passage really quickly back to this verse, Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, where God says, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing." And so as you're finding your way there, can I just pray this morning that God might just speak to our hearts individually, but the Spirit of God might also have a message in all of this for the church here in Kerrang. So let me just pray. Father, we thank you this morning for all that's happened here in this space of worship. We thank you for the presence of your Spirit, for the promise that as we walk through life, your Spirit would lead us and guide us And so we pray this morning that as we open to this same passage, to a word that you spoke over your people, not just hundreds of years ago, but thousands of years ago, you spoke to your people, you gave them a promise that was for them. But Father, I thank you that in this promise, there's also an application for us today. And so wherever we might find ourselves, God, I pray that your Spirit would speak afresh to us today, breathing new words of fresh hope into our lives. And so we pray that today for your glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at Isaiah 43, you know, what was God aiming to communicate with these simple words of promise? Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. When God gave that word through the prophet Isaiah, it was that. It was a prophetic word delivering a message of hope for a future season in the life of Israel. They were still living in the land of Israel, but many of them weren't honoring God's. They had forgot the things of God and the way in which God had moved and worked. And so God was about to send some judgment upon Israel through some foreign enemies. The Assyrians had swept through there at different times, and now there was another empire that was raising up, the Babylonian Empire, that would come in and take many, if not all, the Israelites into Babylonian captivity. And God was giving a word through Isaiah to his people for that particular point in time. And to give assurance of this promise, God conveys a number of different things to Israel. Now, we're going to kind of push through this really quickly this morning. I'm going to encourage you to go back and to maybe read this chapter in full a little bit later on today. But God gives a number of promises to Israel, and he begins in verse 1 by reminding them that he is their creator. He states it up front, and this is what he says in verse 1. He says, "But now, this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel." Now, what did these words convey to Israel as they came out of the mouth of Isaiah? Well, God was reminding Israel that he had created her. And because she was his creation, Israel could take comfort in the fact that nothing could ever destroy her. Not even her future exile in a foreign land in Babylon. They, being Israel, would always belong to God. You know, it was a word that was given back then, and it's a word that still rings true today over the nation of Israel. God said it then, he's still saying it today, that he was their creator. Then in verses 2 and 3, God then proceeds to inform Israel that he is the Lord, the one who is with them. Here's what he says in beginning in verse 2. "When you pass through the deep waters, I will be with you." If you're old enough, you might remember a praise and worship song that was kind of built around these exact words. He goes on to say, "When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." God was reminding Israel at that point in time that he was the Lord, their Lord. He was the one who was with them. And while trials would be inevitable, it didn't matter what obstacle might come their way, they could always be assured, they could always be assured of his ongoing presence. It was a promise. It was a reminder. "I've not only created you, but I am the Lord your God. I am with you, whatever comes your way." Then jumping further on into the text, into around verse 14, God reminds them that he is also their Redeemer. He says these words, "This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send to Babylon." Remember, this is all futuristic. Isaiah is speaking, God is speaking through Isaiah, saying, "For your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives all the Babylonians in the ships in which they took pride." What's God saying? Well, he's reminding them about his faithfulness. He is telling them that he is going to come good and deliver on a future promise. Yeah, what's that remind us, or what's that say to us today? Well, it's God's faithfulness in the past that guarantees his faithfulness in the future. Tim, you're a good man, mate. Bring me some water. Thank you. Same is true today. So God was saying to the Israelites, look back on the past. Remember what I have previously done. Now, there's a verse in the book of Judges chapter 2, verse 10, I think it is, where it says there was a generation of Israelites that grew up that neither knew God or the things that God had done. You know how quickly we can forget God's faithfulness. But God's reminding them that if you were to look back, all kinds of things that I have done in the past, it's because of what I've done in the past, you can be sure of what I'm now going to do into the future. He is promising to judge a future empire known as the Babylonians. Now, Isaiah chapter 43 doesn't tell us quite how Israel responds to this message, but in verse 18, God shifts gears. He moves from talking about being their creator, their redeemer, the one who was with them. He moves from this to now telling them to forget about everything that he has done in the past. Verse 18, he says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. Now, why would God say that? Hadn't he just urged them to look back and to remember all the great and wonderful things that he had done for Israel? Well, he had. But while in one sense we're called to look back, and while the Israelites were being called to look back, he didn't want them to stay stuck in the past, because he knew if they kept looking back and remained in the past, that would stop them from experiencing all that he was wanting to do in their future. And so it was as if God is saying through the prophet Isaiah, you think the past was good? Well, I am about to do something new that is going to literally blow your socks off. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Verse 19, now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. These are beautiful words. You know, these are the kind of words that get stuck on a coffee cup, aren't they? It's the things that might get put on a banner that's hung on the wall. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. You know, we know what that meant for Israel, because we have the opportunity of looking back throughout history, and we know that God came good on his promise for Israel. You know, a generation or so later, the Israelites were carried into captivity. They spent 70 years in captivity. What did God do? God returned them back into the land of Israel, and the temple was rebuilt there again. God came true on his promise. So what might these words that we find in Isaiah 43, given by God himself, we know what they mean for Israel, but what might they mean for us today? Well, I actually think they have a number of things to say to us personally, and they also have a number of things, I think, that's words to the church today as well too. But let's just begin with us personally. See, this promise of a new thing, this promise from God, I think, carries a message of hope to all of us who might find ourselves trapped in the pain of past regrets. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, perhaps you've faced some significant personal failures and setbacks in your life. I think we can all relate to that at different times, can't we? Things that have gone wrong that have been a challenge for us in our lives. Or maybe you found yourself enduring a tough season and you're currently feeling yourself somewhat discouraged and defeated by life's challenges. And it's into those moments of our lives the words of the prophet Isaiah ring true. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. See, those hope-filled words, they remind us that there is no point, there is no benefit to living our lives in the broken pieces of yesterday. We can't move forwards by living in the pain of past regrets. And just as God was speaking through Isaiah to the people of God, reminding them that at some point in time, you're going to look at your scenario and you're going to think, you know what, well, this is kind of where we are and there's no way of moving through that. And God had given this promise to them so that when they were there, that promise would ring true, forget the former things. Don't dwell in the past. I'm about to do something brand new. And I think that has something to say to all of us today, wherever we might find ourselves. Some disappointment, the pain of some past regret or shame. Maybe it's the discouragement or the defeats that we find ourselves in. It's a word from God that calls us out of that to embrace all that He has for us as we move into the future. It's as if God was saying to us this morning, you know what, yeah, I get that, but let it go. Let it go. Now, I also think that this promise has something to say to those of us who might find ourselves at times yearning for the past. You ever found yourself saying, hey, do you remember that? Do you remember when? You remember those good old days? You know, it's those moments of reminiscing. You see, I'm old enough now to have had some very formative things happen to me in my young adult years because of this region in which I've grown up at. You know, I recall and I remember, as many of you will, that the days of Camp Slate, the summer camps, the restless nights of sleeping in a tin shed because it was 40 plus degrees outside. But you know what? So many of those days, so much of what's happened in that period of time has been so formative in my life. You know, it is easy for us at times to look back. This church, for example, I'm not quite sure when the actual memorial stone is, but the history of this church goes back to George Slade and F.J. Wilkin 150 years ago. There has been a great work that has come out of this place over that 150 years, that rich period of history. You know, it is easy to look back in these moments and go, do you remember when? Do you remember when God did this? Do you remember when the Spirit of God moved in a mighty way through this? And we can look back and we can reminisce and we can long for those days. Or for something from the past. And it's into those same thoughts where we reminisce, God says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. See, if we find ourselves this morning always looking back and not looking forwards, you know, wishing that the good old days might return, it is into that that I want to remind us through the prophet Isaiah that God has got new things in store for our lives. New things in store for this church. New things that He wants to do in us and through us, but we cannot keep doing that if we find ourselves keep always longing for the past. You know, what might this promise of a new thing mean for your life today? Or even more so, what might this promise of a new thing mean for this church? See, as I was driving up here this morning and I was thinking about just God's grace in my life over the past 50 years, I had a moment of just celebrating the goodness of God and thanking Him for just His grace and mercy in my story. And my story is just like your story. But I can see the hand of God in very visible, tangible ways. I am so grateful for all of that. But it got me then thinking about this region as well too, and what God has been doing in and through the northwest, of which Kerrang's a part of that story, I mean, it really is a very profound story of God's grace and mercy in reaching people for Jesus. You know, the history of this church is incredibly rich. That when God tapped a young man on the shoulder by the name of George Slade and he left the Geelong region and came up to Kerrang. I mean, he left his family behind and traveled up here and ministered in this region for 3 or 4 years. And the pioneering work of George Slade, we know it's not about a person, but often God moves in and through different people to accomplish his purposes. He was doing it through the prophet Isaiah. He was doing it through his people then. And you know what? The 21st century, God is still doing the same thing today. But you go back to people like George Slade and then F.J. Wilkin that came up into this area, and the pioneering work that they did has had a profound effect. I think of this church. I think of Kundrook Barham, Gunawarra. You think of Swan Hill. A lot of that work, Bort and Barraport, came out of the pioneering work of godly men who said, yes to Jesus, I am believing that you are doing a brand new thing. And so I ask the question today, you know, would we dare pray and say to God, please do something new in this region? Would you do a new thing again today? We realize you're not going to do it the same way in which you did it back in 1877, because we have a God of the new thing, a God who delights in doing new things. And he does new things because then he gets the glory. It's not about a person. It's not about a place. It's about the work that God is doing. And it's obvious to everybody then that God is doing a brand new work. So today, you know, God might want to do something in and through us, but would we dare pray, God, would you do a brand new thing right here at Kerrang Baptist Church? And yet here's the challenge, I think, when we hear this beautiful passage of Scripture. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. See, here's the challenge. Is that sometimes I think it's fear that holds us back from either seeing or believing that God is doing a new thing. See, fear is the greatest work, I think, of the enemy. Fear is the one thing in our lives that creates doubts, causing us to say things like, I think so. Or, I hope so, or I wish so. I was with somebody just the other day and we were talking through, the importance of people coming to faith still to this day. And we were talking about, would we dare to believe that we had a kind of a number around that at Bendigo Baptist that we would see people, that number come to faith in 2026. And in the course of that conversation, I was talking with one of our campus pastors. I said, well, you know, I certainly think we could believe that for your context right where you are. I said, but that's going to be a greater challenge in my world at Juniton. And as the words came out of my mouth, it was words that were just kind of couched in that little bit of doubt around saying, well, I hope so or I wish so. You know, rather than saying I hope so or I wish so, a faith in God's promises says, I know so or I believe so. When God gave that word through the prophet Isaiah saying, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past, see, I'm doing a new thing. You know, what was required at that point in time was a belief that says, you know what, I am going to trust that God's word is going to come true. I know so and I believe so. When God says he's going to do something, he is going to do it. See, faith helps us to see our failures and setbacks as nothing more than stepping stones of growth. But too often we see our failures and setbacks as being so formative in our lives that we can't ever move past that point. See, it's our faith that reminds us that God will make a new way where there seems to be no way, because nothing is impossible for God. He can do that. If he can do that in the nation of Israel, then he can do that in our lives. He can also do it in our church. So what does that mean for you today? Well, I want to put a challenge out to us today. Are you ready to believe by faith that God could do a new thing in your life? Wherever you might find yourself, in whatever season, no matter how old you are or young you are, that God might be wanting to do a new thing in your life today. You may not even know what that might mean, but it's a willingness to say, God, you know what? I'm sitting here today and I'm feeling stirred by your spirit around this entire passage of scripture, and I'm open to whatever that new thing might be that you are wanting to do in and through me. Or as a group of people that call this place your spiritual home, you're saying, you know, God, I'm going to start to begin. I am believing today. I'm not just starting. I am believing by faith today that you are going to do a new work in this community, in and through this church. I'm believing by faith for that. Now, as we process some of that, you know, for some of us, maybe it begins with a fresh start in life. You know, the Word of God reminds us that a new beginning awaits for anyone who is willing to make Jesus Christ as their own Lord and Savior. And if you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus, I'm going to give you an opportunity in a moment to respond to Him. You know, it's easy to sit in this place, to sing some songs, to listen to people pray, to maybe even participate in this, but we know that we've never given our heart to Jesus. Paul says to us in the book of 2 Corinthians that Max read just even a few moments ago, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. There's that word newness again. God delights in making all things new. And so, yes, as a church here, you are ambassadors of God's. You know, calling out to people and telling people the good news about Jesus. And so part of that today is maybe for some of us here in this room, we've never given our hearts to Jesus. We've never responded to the gospel. We've never stepped over the line and verbalized that with our own mouths. And I want to give you an opportunity for that in just a moment. Or maybe there are others of you here today and you know, you've kind of given your heart to Jesus, but for one reason or another. You know, you haven't been actively following Jesus. You've been going through the motions. You haven't walked away, but it's time for you today to take your faith seriously. God wants to do something new in your life today. He wants to begin that in you. Or maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, you know, there's lots of discouragement in your life right now. Or there is the pain of past hurts and discouragement that is holding you back. It is stopping you from fully embracing and stepping into your calling as a son or a daughter of the Lord Most High and following Him with all of your hearts. And He's saying, let it go. It's time to let it go. You know, the words of God through the prophet Isaiah, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Had a profound impact upon the nation of Israel. But I actually think these are words that ring true still for all of us today that have application for our lives. And so I want to pray for us this morning. And Brooke's going to come back in just a few moments after I pray, and we're going to continue on in a bit more worship. But I actually want to give us a moment here to respond to what the Spirit of God might be saying in our lives. I'm going to pray in just a moment as I'm praying, or before I pray, I want to give people a chance to think through, what does this mean for me? Because the worst thing that we can do today is to hear God's word spoken and then just move straight on out of here into something else, and we don't think about what is God saying to me today. So I invite us just to maybe bow our heads right where we are. And while we're thinking about these words, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past, see, I am doing a new thing. I wonder what that might mean for all of us here in this room. It's going to hit us all in a bit of a different way. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ. Can I just say today that Jesus Christ gave up His life so that you might experience a new life, a life of purpose, a life that has meaning and significance. And if you've never given your heart to Jesus, you've never invited him into your life, then I want to give you that opportunity right now. I'm not going to call you out, but if that's where you're at today, then I'm just going to invite you just to slip up your hand wherever you might be, because I want to pray for you in just a moment. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, this is your moment. Jesus says to us, he said in the Gospels, I am the way and the truth and the life. It's a passage of scripture that reminds us that he came offering us meaning and significance, life and purpose. Anyone who needs to give their heart to Jesus. Or maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking about these words this morning and you're realizing that for you, you really have not been walking in a space that's been honoring of all that's been given for you. And you already know and love Jesus. But for whatever reason, you've been going through the motions. And right now he's calling you back to recommit your life afresh in a brand new way. If that's you today, I want to pray for you as well too. And I invite you just to pop up your hand wherever you might be. Or if you find yourself living in that space, caught up in the pain of some discouragement or past regrets, God's saying to you today, don't live in this space. You got to let it go. You got to move beyond this. And the only way in which we get to move beyond this is by believing by faith these words of Jesus. Forget about the past. I'm doing a new thing. Do you need God to do a new thing in your life today? That's a great thing to pray for. And I want to pray for you today. Anyone here that is believing for that? Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. God bless you. I see that. Just another moment. I really want to pray for people. Father, this morning we thank you for the promise of your word. Father, we thank you that when Israel wasn't even acknowledging you and they were living their own lives, trusting in their own chariots and horses, in that moment, God, you told them that some tough times were coming, but they didn't need to give up. That hope was still coming. That in spite of all the good things that you'd done in the past, you're about to do something brand new in their lives. We thank you that you are a God who can be trusted. It's your faithfulness in the past that guarantees your faithfulness into the future. And so, Lord, today, for people here in this space that are responding to your word afresh again, for whatever that might be in their life, some hurt, some pain, some discouragement, some disappointment. Father, you know us really well that we can find ourselves so quickly in that space and hope seems to disappear. Or we can't quite see our way through what you might be doing in this next season. And so we thank you this morning for the reminder of hope. Lord, I want to pray over those people that are responding this morning, who are thinking about what that means for their lives. Father, I pray that you would remind them afresh of the power and the promise of your words. God, would you help them to believe by faith, to let go of that pain, that hurt, that discouragement, those defeats, to let that go and to start believing by faith of a new work that you're going to be doing in and through their lives. God, would you encourage them today? May this be a moment that they look back on in time where they see the evidence of your work in their lives, a beginning today, but even in the coming days and weeks, that they would see your word coming true in their lives. God, we thank you that you're a wonderful God. And Father, I pray over this church today as they continue to search for a new pastor. We thank you for 150 years of rich history. We thank you for the way in which your Spirit has moved in might and power in the lives of people over generations. And I thank you that there is still a witness of this church in this community. And I pray today that, Father, you might increase their faith, that you might increase the ability of each person here to believe by faith that, God, you've got new things in store for this church, that you've got a new work, that you've got new people that are going to be coming, and that in and through not just those people but through this church family, there is going to be a witness that goes out that's going to impact the lives of many people for the sake of Jesus. God, I pray over the gospel witness of this church. I pray that it would be incredibly profound. I pray that there would be testimonies and stories of your new work, of your new thing that you are doing in people's lives that would impact and cause ripple effects right throughout this region. God, we pray that so that you might get the glory and the honor. Have your way, we pray. Do something new. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.